The marketing campaign for Wisconsin is designed to pitch our state as a more affordable place for people to live, especially coveted millennials who bring skills and perhaps a bit more mobility right now in their period in life. The campaign focuses on how they could spend more time in a canoe, out with friends, or take in a concert rather than sit in traffic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White has been reporting on this. She went to Chicago to see how the campaign was playing out there. Laurel, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Kate, for having me.
Well, and the good news is you came back from Chicago. Chicago didn't steal you away from us.
No, I wasn't a -1 for millennials after my trip.
So the Senate voted 17-15 earlier this week, approved this $6.8 million. Not exactly unanimous here. What went on with the vote?
So that was the Senate vote. The Assembly has already passed this. So this bill is on its way to the governor's desk now. And the vote breakdown in the Senate was similar to what we saw in the Assembly and similar to what we've seen throughout the debate on this issue. Democrats are really pushing back and saying that the $6.8 million could be used for other things in the state. They'd rather see it spent on things like student loan refinancing options for Wisconsin millennials, investing in other programs that they think millennials are interested in, like urban revitalization or sustainability. So you saw a lot of Democrats voting against the plan and Republicans supporting it.
And what were the Republicans saying in support of this?
So Republicans are arguing that the marketing campaign is something that we really need to do to take an additional step to combat Wisconsin's aging population. So Wisconsin isn't alone in having an aging population. This is a problem that many Midwestern states, or even states, you know, broadened out in the quote-unquote middle part of the country, are facing right now. So they say that we've really got to step up our game and do something unique and different to help us get more young people to come from other states like Illinois, Chicago, or Minnesota to help us have a stronger workforce.
So this campaign comes from Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, WEDIC. How is it playing out? How did it play out in Wisconsin, in Chicago? What did people say?
So the reason this is really interesting, we don't get an opportunity like this very often because WEDIC launched a smaller version of this campaign, just $1 million in January. So we got to see kind of a pilot of the ad campaign as lawmakers were considering the $6.8 million to expand it. So I was able to go to Chicago and actually report on how the campaign was doing so far and whether people have heard the ads or seen the ads. I think we actually have some tape of an ad that's been playing on Pandora stations and on YouTube and other forms of social media where, you know, people have their earbuds in and are listening. So maybe let's take a listen to that tape before I talk about how people have been reacting to it.
An hour commute or an hour with friends? In Wisconsin, the average commute is less than 22 minutes. So you'll have more time to do the things you love. Wisconsin, it's more you.
All right, so what did they make of that in the Windy City?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I went on L platforms to catch commuters on a weeknight as they were headed home from work. I thought they might be a little bit more upbeat as they were headed home and willing to talk to a reporter from another state. And I walked up and down the platform, and I asked, first of all, have you seen these ads? Because they're posted inside L train cars. So the posters say, Wisconsin, it's more you. They have pictures of commuters either standing on the train or out kayaking or having a drink with friends. And the audio that we heard is, like I said, on things like YouTube or Pandora, and they're targeted to people that are around Chicago, those ads. So about, I would say, 30% of the people that I talked to specifically said, yes, I have seen the ads. And one young man said he could actually kind of recite the tagline back to me. He said, oh, yeah, those are the ads that are Wisconsin. It's more you. So that was interesting to me because, you know, the inside of the L is for people that have been on it kind of plastered with a variety of ads. And so just getting the feedback that some people have noticed them and been receptive to them was interesting in the first place.
Hmm.
And so beyond noticing them, if people hadn't seen them, I sort of described the campaign to them. And I said, these ads are focused on a couple things primarily. One, a shorter commute time in Wisconsin compared to the commute that you have here in Chicago. And two, a lower cost of living in Wisconsin for things like rent or if you want to buy a home. And so if they hadn't seen the ads, I said, if you were to notice them, and those are the arguments on the ads, are those things that are compelling to you? And the majority of people I talked to said, yeah, those are really good arguments. Those are things that would work for me if somebody pointed that out, yeah, and that they would consider moving to Wisconsin.
Hmm. And do you have some tape of someone you talked to?
I do. So I talked to Ian Frank, and he was someone who said that he wouldn't consider moving to Wisconsin right now. He's actually had experience living in Wisconsin. He lived in Milwaukee for a year, and he had kind of an entertaining response to the ad campaign. So I'll let Ian Frank speak for himself.
So I lived in Milwaukee for a year, so I understand, but it also feels a little passive-aggressive. I feel like I'm being asked to reconsider my life choices, which is appropriate, but also feels a little like, back off, Wisconsin.
Back off, Wisconsin. Passive-aggressive. So he's really reading between the lines here.
He is, yeah, he is. And, you know, for the record, I did say, but you see, you lived in Wisconsin. Would you consider moving back? And he said, yeah, I'd consider moving back if there was the right job there for me. So he said, now's not the right time for me. It feels a little passive-aggressive. It feels a little pushy. So he wasn't exactly a fan of the ad campaign itself, but he is a millennial who is amenable to moving back to Wisconsin, which is, of course, what the state wants. So
why does Wisconsin think this is an effective tool to fill a workforce shortage?
Well, you know, the governor has been talking about this since late last year, and he just considers it, from the moment that he introduced it to us, and I think it was November when he introduced the idea and asked lawmakers to support it in the final months of the legislative session. He considered it another tool in the state's toolbox to spread the word about Wisconsin, to recruit people. And these are things that the state has done research on, the Economic Development Corporation has done research on, that are meaningful to millennials, things like cost of living and commute times. Interestingly, I talked to an expert who has studied what's called millennial migration. Who knew that that was a thing that people studied? But he said to me that he hadn't heard, his name is William Fry. He's an expert at the Brookings Institution. He's been studying population trends as a whole for quite a while. And he said he hadn't heard of a campaign like Wisconsin's that was specifically marketing to millennials from out of state. He said that he had heard of economic development efforts that were targeted at millennials, like, you know, first-time home buyer programs or things that the state launches to be enticing, but not advertising those programs and other things specifically in a campaign for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
So he was intrigued by that. He was intrigued by something that was new and different, which is definitely a part of the argument for this from people that support it.
Let's take a listen to him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a good example of that is when we had this very down economy for a good part of the last decade, North Dakota, of all places, was attracting probably more percent migrants than any place else in the country. Now, nothing against North Dakota, but there are other more, you know, high amenity places around the country people would like to live, but they went there because of the jobs.
So jobs there, he's saying, are the real driver. As we wrap up, Laurel, what do we make of what happens next as the state rolls out this campaign?
Well, we're going to have to see, you know, as they, if the governor signs it, which he's expected to, and the campaign rolls out, we'll see whether a marketing campaign does cause an uptick in millennials moving to Wisconsin, or if it's, as Fry said, just creating more jobs would be sufficient and not having to market the state as having these other amenities that are appealing.
Well, Laurel, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. You can follow her on Twitter at LK White. We've been talking about Wisconsin's marketing campaign to attract millennials to the state to address a workforce shortage. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this ad campaign? Do you think it will work? What do you make of it? We'll pick up the conversation with you, Windy City, Twin Cities, Motor City, right after a check of the news on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Wisconsin's worker recruitment effort as the state Senate this week approved a $6.8 million plan to roll out an ad campaign. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Cities and states love these branding campaigns, spend millions of dollars on them. Let's indulge ourselves and hear some.
From style trends to technology, Detroit is the starting line of the world's imagination.
The Anchorage economy is fundamentally sound. We have very solid banks, very solid financial institutions. We have a healthy housing market.
And I think the culture of Cleveland is something that really blew me away.
If you want flair, if you want originality, you can find that here in Cleveland.
In Wisconsin, the average commute is less than 22 minutes. So you'll have more time to do the things you love.
Wisconsin's campaign will focus on three words: think, make, happen.
So those were the marketing tactics of Detroit, Anchorage, Cleveland, and finally Wisconsin. Research from a brand consulting firm in 2014 found that the average success rate on these so-called place branding projects is less than 15%. Let's bring a new voice into the conversation. Mary Lois Bolka is Sector and Strategies Coordinator for the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. It's one of 11 workforce development boards in the state. She works closely with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation in her role serving on the Regional Young Professionals Group. Mary Lois, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what do you make of this ad campaign, $6.8 million to boost a state advertising campaign? What's your reaction?
Sure. I think that this is a very positive step. Wisconsin has a numbers problem when it comes to job openings versus the numbers in the workforce. Where I'm located in Ashland in northern Wisconsin, we struggle to recruit individuals to small rural communities where there are ample opportunities and fantastic quality of life, but we lack the energy, allure, and amenities that larger urban areas can offer. I am concerned that the money will be focused on recruitment efforts to the southeast Wisconsin and other already growing regions of the state instead of looking to assess the northern portion of the state that's very often overlooked. There are very different strategies needed to attract in rural areas versus urban ones.
Yeah, do you have trouble getting the word out about Ashland and elsewhere in your area?
At times we do. We sort of have to think outside the box many times. It makes our job a little more interesting and exciting. We get to do some different initiatives as far as recruiting people to our area. One recent initiative that we participated in was Superior Talent, and it was actually partially funded by WEDC, and that was a specific recruitment event to bring healthcare professionals to our region. So we went across the state and into Minnesota and invited those individuals to come and visit one specific area in northern Wisconsin in the Shawamigan Bay, and we took them around and brought them to the area and showed them what it's like to live there, took them on some facility tours. They got to meet with employers, and sort of a new and exciting way of recruiting people to our area that might be a little different from our urban partners in the state.
That you have to bring them in, visit, experience it firsthand to whet their appetite.
Exactly. It's more about finding a good fit on both ends. You want to make sure that you're getting someone who's invested in the community and also that's excited about being in that culture, in that different region.
Let's bring in Chris now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Chris. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, yeah, thank you. I was just curious. I guess I feel like I'm missing something because earlier this year, or last year, I guess I should say, I feel like we passed, we're going to be spending all kinds of money to bring Foxconn to Wisconsin because we need jobs. And there's a lot of people in Wisconsin that need jobs. And now we're spending money to recruit people from out of state for these jobs, I guess for different jobs. But what I'm wondering is why aren't we spending that money to train the people in Wisconsin to do the medical jobs and the other jobs that we're recruiting Illinois and Minnesota to have those people come into the state? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Mary Lois, go ahead with that. Why can't we train the people who are here for these jobs that are opening?
Definitely, and that's a great question. And there is money in Wisconsin already for job training. I work for the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board, and we have funds to train eligible individuals for occupations. And there are 10 other, as you mentioned, workforce boards across the state who administer federal workforce funding. And when coupled with Fast Forward grants and other state investments like the WIS caregivers and similar industry-specific programs, there's a plethora of options out there for individuals who need training to fill our workforce needs for our current Wisconsin residents. But again, it comes back to a numbers problem. And I'll say that specifically the rural areas are really feeling the strain of not having the numbers to fill the jobs. So we do need to recruit people to our region. There's not another solution. Our region, you know, I talked about the superior talent, but we also work with WEDC on Think Make Happen, and I am involved in the Young Professionals Group in our region, and we participate in the YP Week initiative as well. So it comes back again to it's this partnering between we have these funds to train our current Wisconsin residents, but in the end we're going to need more people to come in and fill those positions as well.
So your board worked with WEDC and their Think Make Happen campaign. What was behind that initiative?
Sure. And they did initially initiate that campaign, I believe, with the young professionals groups across the state. So that was exciting to participate in that initiative from that perspective. And it's, again, about bringing just new light to our state, making it an area where people are excited to be involved and educate themselves and network. The Think Make Happen campaign is all about sort of rebranding Wisconsin as this forward-thinking state, especially where young people and millennials want to be.
Mary Lois Bulka is with us. She is Sector and Strategies Coordinator for the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. We're talking about campaigns to bring in workers from other states, specifically millennials, as the state Senate passed this week, spending $6.8 million on an ad campaign rollout. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Have you moved here from Chicago or another large city for work? Are you proud of this move? Are you disappointed in your move? What caused you to make the move? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Zinal in Wapaka. Hi, Zinal.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I'm listening to the proposal about the elevated platform, the elevated train program. I have a friend who lives down in Chicago on the far south side, travels the train system quite a lot, and on the north side as well as on the south side. And he commented he's seen these ads, but he's seen them on trains on the north side, hasn't seen them on trains on the south side. I don't know if he's missed them, if that's part of the campaign, if this is even being looked at or thought about.
So perhaps very targeted, you're saying, to a specific parts of Chicago.
It seems to be.
Mary Lois, any insight there?
Sure. I know that your previous guest had spoken to this pilot campaign from the beginning that started in January. And I know that at first they only had $1 million to invest in this campaign. And so I would assume that WEDC will be going and spreading that to the more southern areas of Chicago as well. I would also hope that they would spread it to our other cities and our other bordering states in Minnesota, and then also in Michigan and the UP as well, whether it be Minneapolis and Duluth. Or also, I think that there's great value in spreading this campaign to some more rural communities as well, because in the end, we want to be campaigning for the state as a whole and not just for people to move to Madison or Milwaukee. We want to also reach out to people in other rural communities to bring them in as well and sort of showcase what we have to offer as a state as a whole.
Let's bring in Mike now, joining us from Wausau. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Go ahead.
My comment is, or question is, we want to bring these people, millennials, young adults, into rural areas in Wisconsin, but we don't have the internet infrastructure to support the demands that young people need. If you're on a 10 meg satellite connection, it can cost you $200 a month to work and to have your kids go to school and do what they need for homework and research. And I think the bigger problem we have in rural Wisconsin is you can't get on the internet. Well, you can get on the internet, but the speeds are slow and you're limited to 50 gig a month, which, you know, that can last 15 days.
So Mike's saying that broadband is a huge issue here, Mary Lois, that could hold back people wanting to move to parts of Wisconsin.
Very great point, yes. And that is something that we see, that young professionals looking to move to areas are looking for different things, and internet is definitely one of them. There are other things that they're looking for as well, whether it be, he mentioned schools, housing, sort of a community culture, access to daycare that they can provide for their children. And another thing that with this campaign, and as these young professionals are coming to these regions, we need to be looking to our communities to make sure we're providing these amenities. Even as a workforce investment board, we've partnered with our local economic development to develop a business plan and conduct a feasibility study for a nonprofit childcare center that will serve 100 children in Ashland, Wisconsin. And again, that's not workforce specific, but it's an amenity that will help bring workforce to our region that those people need. And we're hoping to, we're currently fundraising so that we can open that center in early 2019. But again, he's correct. We need to be looking at all the amenities that these millennials are going to be looking for in our communities as this campaign continues and people are coming. We need to make sure that we're able to provide what they want and what they need to thrive in our communities and areas.
Well, a number of Democrats voted against this measure on this ad campaign, arguing the money would be better spent on job training for people who already live here in Wisconsin or other things in the state like student loans. What is your assessment on this perspective?
Definitely, and I can absolutely understand both arguments. I know we talked a little earlier about the current funds that are available for residents in Wisconsin right now. And there are workforce development boards throughout the state, and people can contact their, go to their local job centers, and we have partners with DVR and the vets and such, where there are those funds available for those individuals, and I understand the split and everything. But again, it's all about tackling both sides. And by us continuing to build up this workforce and use those funds in that way, I do see that there's value in bringing more people into our state, because in the end, it's only going to improve our economy. I believe it's millennials are, there's more millennials in the workforce than any other generation. So with an expected of $1.4 trillion in disposable income by 2020, it's obviously appealing to bring those individuals to our state to improve our economy.
Let's bring in Francisco, joining us from Sister Bay. Good morning, Francisco.
Good morning again to you. I have a revolutionary concept here. I went to Mayo Clinic, and I go to the, I'm close to 80. When I was in college, back in 59, I paid $75 a year for college, for junior college. at Creighton University, I paid $8 an hour, credit hour. Today it's over $1,500. Junior colleges is $80 an hour. And what we are doing, we are, look at it is a very sickening situation when you have so many resources to educate our people. Instead, we put them in prisons. You got 100,000 people on probation and parole.
Francisco,
25,000 prisoners.
You would like to see, yeah, and so you would like to see more money poured into supporting more educational money, opportunities.
Abolish tuition.
Gotcha.
As I say, the Constitution does not demand it. The legislature does not all mandate it. Who says that we should have tuition? The Board of Regents.
Francisco, thanks so much for the call. Mary Lois, we already addressed this point, but helping, as you mentioned, tuition costs, child care costs, all of those factors drive where people end up, people live and work.
Definitely, and it's a great point. And I know he also mentioned our corrections individuals as well, and most of the workforce development boards across the state do also partner with the Department of Corrections to offer training to those individuals as well. So, and as our unemployment rate is declining, we are looking at other populations, you know, looking at those populations that we can provide training to also help get them back in the workforce. That's an important population that I'm glad he brought up. And we do have initiatives across the state that are working with those individuals as well.
Let's bring in Kelly now from Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would definitely say reaching out to the millennials who are, I think Wisconsin has a lot to offer in the way of outdoor opportunities, the farming area. My husband and I moved, we lived in Colorado and then out in the Pacific Northwest and moved back to Wisconsin specifically to open up a farm to table, kind of cooking school. And this was a market that we saw a lot going on in Milwaukee. We saw a lot going on in the Dane County area and thought there's just so much opportunity kind of north of Milwaukee with people that are interested, but it wasn't a market that was heavily saturated in that kind of business or industry. And Wisconsin, just the green land, the farms. I think there's so much that's here, and I feel like there's such a strong emphasis right now on kind of the big farms as well as the, the Foxconn, the industry that's more tech. But I think there are a lot of millennials who love the outdoors, who, you know, love outdoor kind of adventure opportunities. And I feel like that's a part of our
DNA.
There's so much that could be done to kind of, I don't know, it feels like it's kind of getting, coming back here after having been here 15, 20 years ago.
Well, and we're running short on time, Kelly, but Mary Lois, Kelly brought her entrepreneurial spirit back to Wisconsin.
Exactly. And I like how she said she came back, and we do see a trend in people who used to live here, grew up here, coming back to the state because they know how wonderful it is. And even before, when there was that individual that was speaking, had, you know, talked about how passive aggressiveness of the campaign, but in the end, he'd still consider coming back. We do know that people know what Wisconsin has to offer who have been here before. And so what's great about this campaign is it's an opportunity to reach those who maybe don't know what Wisconsin does have to offer. It opens that door to those individuals as well.
Mary Lois Bulka stays with us. She's Sector and Strategies Coordinator for the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. We'll be right back. More conversation right after this news on the Ideas Network. The state Senate passed a bill this week spending millions of dollars on a marketing campaign designed to bring an influx of millennials and military veterans to the state to address a workforce shortage. The bill now heads to the governor's desk for signature. We're talking about the impact of these recruitment campaigns here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We do live in a brand-saturated culture, and cities and states don't hold back in this area. Last year, Albuquerque was more than hot air balloons. Our friends in St. Louis are striving to be a tech hub, and Denver, our Mile High City, is also a leader in all things cannabis. We're talking about city and state branding on the morning show, how it can impact workforce. Mary Lois Bulka stays with us. She is Sector and Strategies Coordinator for the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. It's one of 11 workforce development boards in the state. Getting your thoughts on Wisconsin's recruitment efforts at 800-642-1234. Do you think a marketing campaign can lure new workers to the state? Have you seen this campaign in Chicago? What did you make of it? Does this put a face on Wisconsin? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Mary Lois, we see some companies using high pay in Wisconsin to lure people to fill jobs they otherwise would not take in other areas. Does this work for companies in hiring? Does this work in the long run, or do we see more turnover in this type of setup?
It does work, and we see it work often for a time. However, again, because I work in a rural community, although I do imagine that it's the same in our larger cities, it doesn't matter how much you pay the person. It's what benefits are provided if the person doesn't feel part of the community. So, again, it goes back to those amenities that we talked about before, making sure that people are feeling involved in the community. And millennials typically want to feel engaged and like they're having an impact. And if they're unable to navigate those social structures, or if there isn't a centralized effort to connect new workers or members of the community, they won't stay. So it's not only about talent attraction as a strategy, but we also need to be focusing on talent retention as an even bigger discussion. And that requires our civic leaders and businesses and chambers and community-based organizations like ours to all come together and partner and work together to make sure that our communities are thriving.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Marshfield. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question for Mary. I was wondering if you guys or if Wisconsin has tried looking more into like the temp agencies in Wisconsin. I guess I'm considered a millennial. I'm 26 years old. About 4 or 5 years ago, for a few years, I had worked through temp agencies, and it was always temp to hire, so I would always try to find all these opportunities of work, trying to get hired into a company that I really like or enjoy, and I would work with these temp agencies. They were temp to hire, so about 3 months, and if you worked for them for 3 months, then they would decide to hire you or not to hire you. But what I had been noticing a trend of is I was never hired. There was one job where I was hired for about 6 or 7 months, and then they ended up having to lay off a bunch of people. But I feel like that if they were to try getting more people employed, that going towards the temp agencies would actually be a great idea if they could actually look more into them and try to contact these people that are going through these temp agencies, because there are a ton of people that are looking for job opportunities through these temp agencies, and I just feel like they're not getting what they're looking for that way.
John, really interesting discussion point. Mary Lois, temp to hire, what do you make of that issue here in Wisconsin?
Sure, and our workforce board doesn't work specifically with temp agencies, but there are other similar programs that we're involved with and that we offer as a service, such as on-the-job training opportunities or even apprenticeship opportunities. It sounds a little more like what you're talking about. And in that situation, individuals are actually hired on as an apprentice, and they are paid to work and paid to go to school, and their school costs are covered as well. And at the end of that apprenticeship, again, they stay on. So they're learning while they're earning. And those are really great opportunities. As far as the temp jobs, I don't know enough information specifically about those in my field, but I think we see this trend in millennials again where they're sort of trying to figure out what they want to do and trying out different job opportunities, and that's a great opportunity for them until they decide, you know, what career they want to invest themselves in. But as far as working specifically with the temp agencies, I can't speak as much to that.
Well, John, thank you for bringing that discussion point up. Bianca emailed, said, I'm a millennial, moved here from New York 2 years ago for a job with Epic. And part of the pull, she says, was definitely having the ability to escape the congestion of New York while also being able to enjoy things that weren't available to me in the city, like canoeing, hiking, etc. Another pull was how relatively affordable this place is. I definitely am happy with my decision and now own a home here with my fiance. We plan to be here for a while and start a family here. So, Mary Lois, that seems to be working right there in Bianca's favor.
How exciting is that? Yeah, that's really great to hear.
And Mark from Sun Prairie called in to say this seems like a backward way to do things. If the state were to be doing so well, you wouldn't have to advertise for people to come here. My millennial kids do not want to be here. The environment and DNR has been ruined, and so have schools. You don't have to advertise if you have a good product. So Mark sees some real issues in that thread that Wisconsin should be looking at.
Yeah, and that's interesting. That's an interesting perspective. And I think there's going to be all different sides of, you know, the field when it gets down to looking at the campaign. But in the end, we know how great our state is. And there are individuals out there who don't know that. And we have to recognize that as well. And I think that this campaign, just by getting our name out and making people think, you know, they might go onto the inwisconsin.com website and take a look at how much housing costs here. Take a look at what jobs are available and sort of open their eyes a little bit to see what it's like to actually be here. And I think that this recruitment event is really going to be successful in that regard.
So in your work as sector and strategies coordinator, are some job markets, some areas of for jobs easier to fill than others?
Yes. Yes, there are. And we do see sector trends. And we work with labor market information on a regular basis to consult, you know, to direct our efforts. And we see healthcare and construction, transportation and manufacturing tend to be the sectors that we struggle with the most in our northern 10 counties. I don't have the statistics for the state as a whole, but I can tell you that smaller towns struggle to fill their vacancies. And as I spoke to before, those apprenticeship programs and the other learn and earn programs are really a great strategy for our more rural areas for us to fill those positions.
So where would you see millennials from other states bridging these gaps in the workforce?
So, I mean, in the end, I think that your previous guest talked about the aging population, and it is true. As more people are retiring, our millennials are the next big labor market. In the United States alone, there's 80 million millennials, you know, and that is the largest demographic in the country. And I think that we really do need to be turning to them to fill this workforce void that's going to be occurring as these people are retiring. It's an exciting and sort of daunting time, but we also need to be looking at how the workplace is going to be changing. We know that millennials have a different mindset when it comes to workplace culture. They want more flexible scheduling and more vacation time. Their benefits package might look a little different from how our parents did, but that's not to say it's a bad thing. It's sort of an exciting new time for our businesses, and that's part of our job, too, is to continue educating businesses on what it means to begin hiring these millennials, and as you're working with millennials, how your workplace might be changing.
So as you look at the challenges that Wisconsin faces in getting young people from neighboring states, big cities, to relocate in Wisconsin, if Wisconsin could work on one thing to help change this and help draw people in, what would you suggest be that one thing to work on first?
That's a great question. I think that overall it's, you know, and I guess it's not a one thing, but we did touch on those amenities earlier of making sure that our communities have what millennials are looking for today, making sure that our housing is adequate and we have daycare access and our quality of schools, making sure really that it's a community culture that people want to be involved in, and really marketing that aspect of Wisconsin is going to be very important.
And as this marketing campaign rolls out in the Twin Cities and Detroit, more probably in Chicago, what will you be watching for as the data comes into you?
Sure, and that's sort of the big question on everybody's mind is how are we going to know if this is actually successful? And I think that we don't really know. It's going to be difficult to measure the true impact. In-migration numbers and other metrics could be used, but it won't necessarily paint the complete picture. And I know the ROI timeframe will be about a decade out, so we're going to have to look to subjective measures.
Wait, why is the ROI a decade out? Why does it take a decade to see the impact?
I think maybe just to sort of see how it's going to be difficult to know this campaign. Maybe it won't take that long. I think that, you know, just sort of seeing how this campaign, how we see the effects in our community, it might just take that time to have all of that data and information in our hands to be able to see the effects of this campaign.
Well, Mary Lois Bolka, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mary Lois Bolka is a sector and strategies coordinator for the Ashland-based Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. She works closely with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation in her role serving on the regional Young Professionals Group. This hour of the morning show was produced by Niaja Ellison. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.